This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more details, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, evidence for the origins of millisecond pulsars, the puzzle of crystalline silicates in comets, and Fermi sheds light on high-energy cosmic rays. Fast-spinning radio pulsars with millisecond rotation periods are thought to be the result of a process involving the transfer of material from a companion low-mass star onto a normal pulsar. This accretion process adds mass and angular momentum to the pulsar, resulting in its rotation rate speeding up and the emission of X-rays. Using telescopes around the world, a team of astronomers has, for the first time, discovered evidence of this process taking place. Pulsars are extremely dense neutron stars, left over after massive stars explode as supernovae. They have strong magnetic fields, which generate beams of light and radio waves which sweep across the sky as the pulsar spins. Most pulsars rotate a few times a second, but some, known as millisecond pulsars, rotate hundreds of times a second. Ordinary pulsars in a binary system with a low-mass companion can start to accumulate material in an accretion disk, a flat spinning ring of material around the pulsar. While this disk exists, it is thought that the radio waves characteristic of a pulsar would be quenched, and the object would not appear as a normal pulsar. However, when the rate of infalling material slows down and stops, the pulsar's emission would be able to disrupt the accretion disk, blowing material out of the system and allowing the radio emission to resume. Now, a team led by Anne Archibald at McGill University in Montreal, Canada, have found evidence of this process taking place in a binary star system 4,000 light-years away. A millisecond pulsar was discovered in the system in 2007, so the team looked back through archived data from several telescopes. What they discovered was a dramatic change in the system over the last decade. Optical observations in 1999 showed a sun-like star, while observations a year later showed evidence of an accretion disk around the neutron star. By 2002, the evidence for this disk had disappeared. The observations in 2007, made with the Green Bank Telescope in West Virginia, found a millisecond pulsar spinning 592 times per second. The researchers say that this system appears to be the missing link between millisecond pulsars and accreting binary systems known as low-mass X-ray binaries, and the results were published in the journal Science during May. Models of solar system formation show that comets form at large distances from their parent star. This makes sense as they are made up largely of frozen material, but a long-standing mystery is how they end up containing tiny silicate crystals which need very high temperatures to form. These crystals start out in an amorphous form, where their atoms are arranged randomly. At high temperatures, the atoms in these crystals become more ordered, forming what is known as a crystalline lattice. Because they need high temperatures to form, these crystalline silicates were not expected to be found in comets, so how they came to be there is a puzzle. In the 14th of May issue of Nature, a team led by Peter Abraham of the Hungarian Academy of Sciences published the first evidence for the formation of crystalline silicates in the disk around a young sun-like star. Together with colleagues from Leiden Observatory and the Max Planck Institute for Astronomy in Heidelberg, Abraham used the Spitzer Space Telescope to observe the eruptive star EX Loopy in April 2008 during one of its outbursts. When they examined the spectra from these observations, the researchers discovered the infrared signature of silicate crystals in the disk of dust and gas around the star. When they compared their results to similar spectra of EX Loopy taken between outbursts, they found that the older observations only showed the presence of amorphous silicates rather than the crystalline form. In the newer observations, taken during the star's outburst, a broad peak corresponding to amorphous silicates was present, but an additional narrow peak at a wavelength of 10 microns was also visible. This narrow feature is likely caused by the presence of forsterite, the magnesium-rich crystalline form of the mineral olivine. The appearance of this additional feature in the spectrum during the star's outburst suggests that crystal formation was happening in the star's disk during the outburst. The researchers think that this is the first time ongoing crystal formation has been observed. They say that the crystals were probably formed on the surface layer of the star's inner disk by heat from the outburst in a process known as thermal annealing, where a substance is heated to a temperature where some of its bonds break and then reform, altering the material's structure and physical properties. The forsterite crystals detected around EX Loopy are just like those found in comets in the solar system, which could have been produced by similar outbursts from our own sun when it was much younger. There has been much speculation over the cause of an excess of cosmic ray electrons and positrons recently detected by the Attic and Pamela experiments. Suggested sources of this excess not only include galactic pulsars and supernova remnants, but also more exotic explanations such as dark matter annihilations. Now, new results from the Large Area Telescope, or LAT, on board the Fermi satellite have added new information to the puzzle. Models of cosmic ray electrons and positrons interacting with the interstellar medium predict a featureless distribution in the number of particles with energies between 10 and a few hundred giga electron volts. However, last year the European satellite Pamela detected surprisingly large quantities of high-energy positrons, while the balloon-borne Attic experiment found a significant peak in the total electron plus positron count at high energies. Like Attic, the LAT on Fermi is sensitive to the total electron plus positron flux. The new results from Fermi, published in the journal Physical Review Letters on the 4th of May, do show a larger number of particles with energies at around 500 giga electron volts, but the excess is nowhere near as large as that measured by the Attic experiment. The new results are, however, consistent with the excess of positrons seen by Pamela. While these Fermi observations are the most precise yet at these energies, they are still not enough to either confirm or rule out a particular origin for these high-energy particles. The Fermi LAT team are planning further observations to reduce the uncertainties and hopefully determine whether the particles are caused by dark matter annihilations or known local sources of electrons such as pulsars and supernova remnants. And finally, May was a busy month in space with the successful launch of two space telescopes and a servicing mission to Hubble. On the 11th of May, the Space Shuttle Atlantis took off on the fifth and final flight to service the Hubble Space Telescope. During the 13-day flight, the crew carried out five spacewalks, totaling 36 hours and 56 minutes, successfully installed the Wide Field Camera 3 and the Cosmic Origin Spectrograph, and repaired both the Advanced Camera for Surveys and the Space Telescope Imaging Spectrograph. The astronauts also replaced all six of Hubble's batteries, launched with the telescope in 1990 and now losing capacity as they age. Other tasks included replacing the fine guidance sensors and all six rate sensor units, the gyroscopes essential to keep the telescope pointing in the right direction. These upgrades will hopefully allow the telescope to keep functioning until 2014, when the James Webb Space Telescope is scheduled to launch. May the 14th saw the successful launch of the Herschel and Planck satellites, lifting off together on board an Ariane 5 rocket from the European Space Agency's launch site in French Guiana. Planck is a telescope designed to map the tiny fluctuations of the cosmic microwave background in unprecedented detail, while Herschel is an infrared telescope which will study some of the coldest objects in the universe. Once in space, the two satellites separated from each other in order to travel independently out to a point known as L2, a gravitationally stable orbit 1.5 million kilometres on the opposite side of the Earth from the Sun. Both satellites are currently undergoing in-flight tests and are so far functioning perfectly.